Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 of the Fan. I'm JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy, the one that got away. Could have had him, could have kept him. James Myrtle, how do you explain yourself?
I'm the one that got away. I'm confused.
Blake is.
How could you be confused by that? Blake, he's on the show. He's the one that got away from the company.
Yeah, it happens, you know. Good for Blake. You know, we miss you, bud, though, so it's good to finally talk to you again.
Just say there's no bunting there to my hymen. It's a straight loss. There's been no low cost replacement.
Yeah, there's no guy that we're talking about. We're like, man, you know what? This is the real bang for the buck. They signed this guy off of Raptors Republic.
This is way better than paying Blake blogger money.
Did you start Raptors Republic?
I was like the one of
co-founder?
Three. Yeah, like I technically am not a co-founder, but I was like the first hire, and yeah, Emma own a chunk of it and stuff.
You own a chunk of it.
Don't you still manage it and stuff?
No.
Look at this. Oh. Ownership stakes.
And if I did, we would not talk about that on air for my current employer.
Oh.
So last night, the suspension comes in a weird time. I tweeted about it. Everybody basically had their own opinion about it. What did you just think overall?
Well, I was surprised when they announced it was going to be an in-person hearing. I wasn't thinking that play was going to be in the 5+ games range. So that was kind of where, you know, that was when my, I wouldn't say shock, but I was kind of thinking, you know, that after the game, he was going to get, you know, 3 or 4 games, and that Pionk was going to get, you know, something a little bit less. And that made sense in line with other things that we've seen. Then they announced it's an in-person hearing. It's like, okay, they're really going hard at this one. And from what I've heard, the Leafs were really argued very, very strongly against it. And I think that's part of what delayed the announcement into the game. So yeah, it was a little bit longer than I was expecting, but it was not a very good hit. And you know, I kind of thought that Spezza's history, never having been suspended in almost 20 years in the league, might have played into it a little bit more, but Department of Player Safety felt differently.
So part of the shakeout here is obviously the Marner injury is magnified by not having Spezza as well for this next little bit. The first power play unit has looked just fine the last couple games. And then down the lineup a little bit, you've got Steves drawing in. There's been a lot of Twitter chatter about Josh Hosang, maybe, which doesn't make a boatload of sense to me. But how do you see them managing through the forward issues these next 5 games? Because there aren't a ton of options, but maybe it doesn't matter all that much if things are clicking this well.
Yeah, I mean, it's maybe Auston Matthews can just play and produce with anybody. I mean, maybe Michael Bunting, obviously, with the beautiful pass on the goal last night was an encouraging sign. But, you know, Wayne Simmonds, who's basically only played like 9 minutes a game all season, you put him up on the first line with Auston Matthews and they don't miss a beat and they look great. So, you know, now that's Columbus, and I don't think the Blue Jackets played very well last night, and the goals were coming pretty easy. And Sheldon Keefe said after the game he wasn't super happy with the way that the Leafs played, even though, you know, they were piling up the goals. But we're really going to see... To answer your question more directly, we're going to see what the depth of this Leafs forward group can do when they're given more opportunity. You know, with everyone healthy, they've looked really, really good. They've had an identity on line 1, 2, 3, 4, and they've all played well. I would say of the whole forward group, there aren't that many that have had poor seasons. I mean, it's probably just Nick Ritchie that's on that list, because they've gotten great contributions from Spezza and from Simmonds and David Kampf and Kasha. And it's worked out really, really well. The off-season makeover where they brought in the 4 new forwards. But it gets a much bigger test now when you got to dial up the ice time for a lot of those guys.
Speaking of Nick Ritchie, gets the monkey off the back last night. He's on a 4-game point streak. What was that press box and management reaction like? Because you're up there in the gondola area when he finally got his first goal with a Maple Leafs.
Yeah, there's 2 boxes right behind where I sit in the press box, and they're usually full of, you know, some of the coaches that aren't on the bench, like Steve Briere, the goalie coach, and some of the support staff, performance coach Greg Harden. And usually the scratched players sit up there, the guys that are hurt. You know, I couldn't see exactly who was in the box last night because it's up behind me. I could see Spezza was there. But I don't know if it was Mikheyev and Mrazek and, you know, probably some of those guys, or Biega, some of the people they called up. But when Ritchie scored, they just erupted. It was, and normally during the game, you don't hear like super loud cheering and things like that from the staff box. Like they cheer a little bit, but the one for Richie was just, it was massively loud, and you could hear it even over the crowd cheering. And, you know, Richie seems to be one of those guys that's really popular in the dressing room, and they know how difficult this has been. And you could really tell, you know, Sheldon Keefe said after the game that he has said to Richie again and again, tonight's the night, you know, tonight's the night you're going to get a goal. And he said he had to stop saying it because he had said it to him too many times and it never happened. But Keefe said in the coaching room before the game that he said to the coaches that I think tonight's actually the night, because they had him up on the power play unit and everything. And there's a lot of goodwill in the dressing room and in the organization for Nick Richie that they want him to figure it out. I don't know if that's just because he's got that big contract or not, but, you know, he seems to be a popular member of the team. And I think that over the last 5, 6, 7 games, he's been a lot better than he was earlier in the year.
Yeah. Again, I think he has like, what is it, 8 points, or he's got 6 points in his last 8 or something like that. Like he's been solid, and down the lineup, you haven't really noticed him performing poorly. I think that the contract is actually fine. The guy makes $2 million. He's Nick Richie. That's okay. It's just on this Leafs team, everything gets extrapolated into a bigger deal because they're so cap strapped. And I think that it is pretty, I won't say definitive, but it's pretty clear right now that the idea that he could play up the lineup like he was originally supposed to didn't really work out the way that they thought it would. So it's like, yeah, okay, two things can be true. The contract ends up being fine. It just doesn't end up being what they wanted it to be. It's just that, you know, you've got Bunting, all those guys you mentioned that are all basically like wildly outperforming their contracts. That totally really helps balance that out. So I want to go back to the Spezza thing for 1 second, which is just simply this. Is like, so, all right, they've made the suspension. It's surprising to some, but the amount of conversation that's been around this play, it's two Canadian teams, so obviously up here it is a bigger deal. It's Toronto, so it becomes a bigger deal. It gets amplified, but there is just a lot of people who are pissed about this, and they're pissed for a whole bunch of different reasons, like the Department of Player Safety, the officials, Pionk, like the lack of consistency in terms of some of these calls, whether it's, you know, Jack Campbell a couple of nights before taking that headshot, whatever it may be. Do you get the sense that there is actually going to be momentum here for there to be accountability around the NHL, whether it is the player department or safety department, or whether it is, you know, officials or whatever? Or that this is just, hey, because it's Toronto, it's louder, but we're going to be going back to business in this sport as normal, and nothing is actually going to change here.
Well, you know, talk about people being upset. I mean, two of the parties that are very upset are the Jets and the Leafs. And, you know, the Leafs have been making a lot of noise with the league that they're not happy with how that game was officiated. They're not happy with how the past few games have been officiated. Sheldon Keefe made a direct reference to Austin Matthews not drawing any penalties all season and how that doesn't make any sense. And, you know, I think the Leafs are skirting the line here where potentially they're going to get a fine or something for just how much they're arguing against what's happened. So I think that when you're getting some of that pressure and it's not just from media and fans, it's actually coming from the teams that are involved, I think that, yeah, the league's going to take a closer look at what's going on. And the fact of the matter is that Jets game got out of hand because of the way it was officiated and the calls that were missed. I mean, they're giving Pionk a 2-game suspension for the hit on Sandin. It wasn't even a penalty in the game. And, you know, that's a huge missed call by an official in an important game, in a close game. And, you know, the Leafs felt like they could have got back in that game if that call had been made properly. So, you know, that's one of the things that I'm sure the league's looking at, and I'm sure they're talking to the officials. I believe it was a couple young officials that were, and relatively new officials that were officiating that game, but that's the kind of thing where the league's going to look at that. And I don't think that people are very critical of the player safety department. I mean, if anything, these suspensions are probably harsher than we've seen in the past for hits like this. So is that great? No. Is there a lot of consistency in the way that the NHL gives out suspensions? Not really. But this time, at least, they cracked down a little bit harder, in part because the league really doesn't like seeing the retaliatory plays, and that's the way that they framed the Spezza one.
So now that we're seeing a little bit of a shakeup in the offensive side of the lineup, we're seeing some depth. A lot of people are talking about maybe Josh Hosang getting an opportunity with the Maple Leafs. Do you think that's something that happens with these injuries and these suspensions, or the faces we saw last night going to be the ones that are floated around?
I do not think that that's going to be something that happens, but if there's a couple more injuries, then maybe the conversation changed. But, you know, my information is that they're not particularly close. He's got to sign an NHL contract, and the tricky thing, you know, if you sign Hosang to an NHL contract and you bring him up for a game or two or three games or whatever, and you want to send him back down, he's going to have to clear waivers because he signed that contract. So, you know, the question, he's having a really good season in the AHL. The question is, if he comes up, let's say he plays three or four really good games for the Leafs, and all of a sudden you get back into your cap log jam and people start to get healthy and Marner comes back and you want to send him back down, then all of a sudden you're stuck because another team's going to look at that and say, this guy's was a highly drafted prospect. He's played really well in the AHL. He's played well for the Leafs in three or four games. Why not take a flyer on him and claim him if you're one of the teams at the bottom of the standings? And then all of the work that the Leafs have put into Josh Hosang is kind of out the window and he's playing for another team. So that has to be part of the equation when they think about bringing him up.
So the guys that actually do get the call up, the new faces, Rubens and Steves, there was a little bit of like a Rubens story that ended up circulating yesterday just of how, hey, this is someone who actually seems to have a chance. What's your read on just the way the organization views these two players now and in the future?
Rubens, they're both guys that weren't picks, that were free agents that they've kind of found and developed. So, I mean, Steves hasn't been much of a develop. He's only been in the organization a little while. I mean, Sheldon Keefe said that Steves wasn't even at training camp, so they didn't really know him very well. But what happened with Steves is that he came in, one of those college free agents, played 3 years at Notre Dame. He came in, he played so well with the Marlies, put up a point a game that, you know, he's earned the praise from the development staff and from the coaching staff. So they wanted to give him a look. And I thought he looked pretty good. I mean, you know, some of the high profile Leafs like Austin Matthews were saying how impressed they were with how he played. So he's a guy that's put himself on the radar really quickly when he wasn't necessarily on it even a couple of months ago. Rubens is a bit different story. You know, they signed him to the ECHL originally, and he was really kind of a deep development candidate. And one of the things that Kyle Dubas has wanted to do in the organization is have kind of like a baseball development style where you've got more than one level of minor league, and they wanted to get some guys in on the team at Newfoundland in the ECHL and develop them there. And Rubens is one of the first examples of that. And he's a big guy. He played in Sweden. He played in the WHL. He's really put in a lot of work to get to where he is. And, you know, I know that Sheldon Keefe's a big fan of his. So I think he could be a guy that when there are injuries, he's going to play on the third pair. He's going to play, you know, 10 to 13 minutes a night and probably not do anything flashy, but kill penalties and do some of the unsexy things well. And, you know, this is what the Leafs are going to have to do, especially they haven't had that many draft picks the last couple of years because they've been trading so many of them. They're going to have to find guys like Steves and Rubens that don't even take draft picks that they just find in other organizations.
So yesterday we were kind of teeing up what the cap situation looks like with Sandin out and if and as Mrazek and Mikheyev come back. And it kind of, you know, one of the things that I said was like, yeah, these are all the iterations, but like things change quickly and maybe Mitch Marner ends up on the LTIR. And now the latest update on him sounds like that timeline is going to be a little longer. How obviously there's never a good time to have injuries or anything like this, but this does feel like it extends a little bit the Leafs cap crunch and or could potentially, you know, give them a little bit more time to figure it out. What's your feel on like if this team and obviously this is a big if they get completely healthy at some point in the new year, what has to happen? Are we still looking at having to have an unload move here? Has this kind of driven home that, no, you need this depth and you need to find a way to maintain that around the cap? Or, you know, could a guy like Rubens kind of change their opinion on that stuff?
I think that they were thinking of Rubens already as kind of like he could be a seventh defenseman that goes up and down from the Marlies and he's on that entry-level contract and doesn't need waivers, et cetera, et cetera. The cap question, I mean, it was looking like with Mikheyev and Mrazek coming back that they were going to face a real crunch and that they were going to have to make a decision whether that was potentially trading a defenseman like Travis Dermott or Justin Hall, which is something that they've looked at, and freeing up that money or, you know, waiving a forward. And the candidates would be, I mean, that gets tough because, like, you put Pierre Engvall on waiver, someone's going to claim him. If you put Nick Ritchie on waivers, I don't know if he gets claimed or not, but do you really want to do that with a guy who's got a two-year contract and, as JD was saying, hasn't actually played that badly and who's probably going to pick up his game here over the rest of the season? Mm-hmm. They would have a tough decision to make if everyone was healthy right now. So, you know, you don't want to say that not having Mitch Marner is a blessing, but it just – it gives them a chance to look at some of these other players and see what they have. And the big thing for the Leafs organization is, you know, the trade deadline's far away now, but they want to start thinking about when we get closer to that date, what do we need? What do we need to bring in? Do we need another defenseman because of the way Justin Hall has struggled? Do we need help on left wing, or does Bunting emerge as, you know, a guy that you want to keep on that top line the rest of the way? And they've got a couple of months now to feel that out. And without Marner, they're going to get deeper looks at some of these guys.
Yeah. I like the way that you frame that. Last thing before we go, if they had moved Hall or Dermott in a more desperate way, it probably wouldn't have been the best return, especially since other teams would have been very, very aware of what Toronto's situation was with the cap and those decisions that they had to make in terms of forward waving. I can't imagine that those guys go away, though, in terms of being on the trade block, that they're just going to remain there all season long. Is this one where you think that the organization actually really has that different of a preference in terms of moving one of those two guys? Or it's basically like, hey, these two are available. Send us your offers. And if you like one of them more than the other and you're willing to pay a price that is higher than what you would pay for the other, then you get them. Then that's what you get.
That's a good question. I think the Leafs value Hall more just because he's a right shot. He's played in the top four a lot more than Dermott. But the way it was framed to me from another team that talked to the Leafs about the defenseman is that both were available. So, you know, maybe the asking price is a little bit higher for Hall. But, you know, I don't think that fans should get that excited about the return for either player. Okay. 'Cause I don't think there's going to be, a really exciting asset that's going to be there. You know, and the other thing to keep in mind too, is that they need to think about the cap situation for next year, and one of those guys is going to have to go for sure. I mean, they're going to have to – Liljegren and Sandin are going to need new contracts next year. Jack Campbell obviously is going to need a new contract. They're going to be tight against the cap. They're not going to be able to carry a $1.5 million or a $2 million sixth and seventh defenseman, which is what they have right now. That's a luxury that they're not going to have. And it's almost like making a decision you have to make in the offseason a little bit earlier and giving yourself some flexibility this year instead of waiting till the summer.
James, this was great. Thanks for making time for us today, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Take care, man. It's James Myrtle of The Athletic. Yeah, I don't think anybody's really expecting anything back for those guys, but I do think that there is a tougher look PR-wise for the team if they lose Hall for basically nothing when you could have kept... you know, when you could have exposed him in the Kraken draft and there was this whole thing about his value and the balance of the team and blah, blah, blah. Like
more pressure on Hall for sure than Dermott.
Right.
In terms of a return.
Yeah. There's like Jared McCann. I'm every week I'm checking his hockey reference page going,
because you're like, still come on.
That? Yeah. Hey, cool it. Hey, McCann, cool it. Leafs legend. So, yeah, it's worst optically. And again, like it's 15 points in 20 games now for McCann. 10 goals.
And I know mid-round picks aren't sexy returns, especially if you're a win-now team. Mm-hmm. But they're out of third, fourth, fifth, and sixth this year.
Yeah, the only thing is with hockey that there's a lot of studies that indicate that after the second round, the difference between like third and seventh round picks is very negligible. So
right,
something,
but they're also trade assets, and they're also, you know, an extra, if, hey, third to seventh round is random. It's an extra kick at that random can, right?
Yeah.
Random.
Sure. And like I said, I think that drafts in general, like you accumulate picks, you get as many as you can, whatever, that's fine. I just mean that it's not the NFL where you get a third round pick and you go, oh, this is actually projected. We're hoping that this is a starter. We're like hoping that this is a 50-50. The NHL, you get a third round pick. Like that's just the ultimate of crapshoots. It's like baseball, same thing where you go, okay, have a ton of them, whatever. But if you lose Justin Hall for just a pick, I think that's pretty tough. I think you got to get back somebody who maybe doesn't play for you, but who could play for you in a pinch, like of the Rubens mold. I am kind of curious about him just because, like, I was going to ask you guys who popped last night, but then nobody really did. And Rubens kind of did, though, just because of his size. Like, I didn't notice Steve's time.
No.
Not once. I couldn't have told you that he was on the ice. I couldn't have, like, I can't tell you
except
right now.
Except when they showed him on the bench and they did his little, like, story, and he had the most piercing blue eyes. That was the only thing I remembered. I was like, wow, this guy's eyes are blue. Like, it was like a husky.
Steve.
That's all I remember from his entire evening.
Oh, I got to get a look at those peepers.
Yeah, he's got some blue eyes. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, he was meant to be a Leaf. I get it.
I'm just Googling right now. I'm like, I got to see him. I got to see this Husky. So
they're very blue.
I did think that there was, it's one of those things where one of the difficult, it's always tougher in Toronto sometimes to get reads on hockey players, even when I was just like trying to message some people last night about this dude, because the overhype element or the over criticism element here at times can make it a little bit harder to parse through the noise. But I will say this, Rubens is the guy who can skate. And he's big. And I don't think that you're relying on him like to be somebody that is in the top six this year. Mm-hmm. But it would be very, very important when we're talking about what you would accept in that trade for a Hall or a Dermott, Dermott especially, if it turns out that this guy can play in a pinch. If this guy, if you don't feel like, holy crap, this is a Marincin situation, we're in dire straits if we have to go to this guy. If he's just competent, if the wins above replacement difference between he and a Dermott is kind of negligible, then you're feeling good about that given his contract value, given his size, and that he might be able to give you a little bit of a different look. So to me, he actually is a real point of curiosity. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's Toronto, and so people go, really? You're going to talk about the Leafs' eighth defenseman?
As well, we kind of have to at this point.
But that's it. I'm like, I know. But also, there is something to this guy.
Yeah, guess who's in the lineup right now?
Right.
Eighth defensemen are important to have somewhere on your depth chart.
Right, but I think Steves is pretty irrelevant. Right?
Sure.
Like, if Steves is playing for them in an actual meaningful game, like, because you got to think, Mikheyev's coming back, Spets is suspended, Marner's hurt, like, so many players
and
have to go
Nick
down to
Steves. And even Nick Robertson, who would be great to get an injury report on how he's doing. Like, he's just like crickets right now. Would love to know when you're coming back, because not this year at all.
Yeah, I just mean, like, for Steves, he's so far down that if he ends up playing a meaningful moment for you, like, it actually is it's calamitous. Mm. But there is sort of a roadmap to Rubens having a little bit of a, hey, this guy could be important to their defense depth. You always need a lot of defensemen. I'll always think about that year that Pittsburgh won the cup and had to cycle through like a million different D because they just couldn't keep anybody healthy. That's always the scenario. So knowing that you might have at least a little bit of something in Rubens, like, this is a good fact-finding mission for them.
Rubens. The sandwich. Does it make Blake was tweeting about that last night.
the dumbest meme imaginable.
What, yeah. Rubens sandwiches?
Yeah.
Let's take a break.
By the way, so the timeline on Robertson was initially about 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. We're only 7 weeks in. That feels like a million years ago.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Only 7 weeks.
Okay, well, I'm okay with that. 3 weeks to go.
You're okay
everyone
with that
will be,
time?
Everyone will be healthy by then.
Yeah.
Ailish and they'll never have another injury again.
Ailish is okay with time, everyone.
Yeah.
All right?
She's
okay
with time. I'm not going to argue with time. Like, it works. It's, you know, it's an age-old thing.
Yeah.
Time is time.
It's an age-old thing. Yes. All right, that's a good one. Let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's talk to a celebrity. That's next. The Fan Morning Show. Sports at 5-9 of the Fan.
Hey, Leafs fans. We're giving you the chance to win tickets to the Maple Leafs Blues game on December 23rd. Today's code word is KAIRU. Text KAIRU to 590-590 for your shot to win.
Good morning. Fan Morning Show. Sports at 590 of the Fan. I'm Blake Murphy. She's Ailish Forfar. He's JD Bunkus. You can follow them on their social medias at just their names. Ailish Forfar, JD Bunkus. Nice to have uncommon names. I have to do the Blake Murphy ODC or E. Blake Murphy thing.
Eyelash.
Yeah. At Fan590 and the Fan Morning Show, wherever you get your podcasts, please rate, review, pump that algorithm, whatever goes into that thing.
Yeah.
This song, by the way, is Constantine's. A little 519 for you. A little Arkell's influence.
Did
you choose that?
Arkells.
I did. I didn't want to play in Arkells. Now
he's the like,
fact
you
that,
know, I get paid when you play my music on Spotify, Blake. That's cool that you could.
I think I have given Arkells enough support over time to be able to. I was trying to bring Max in on a song he really likes, but he's not quite on the line yet, so he won't have a.
You can play it again if you want.
No, it's okay.
You can do a little quiz. You guys can do like a hardcore music nerd quiz.
Yeah, I tell you.
You guys are in a lot of the same corners.
You go back to early Arkell stuff, and then you listen to that Constantine's album, Shine a Light, and there's a real parallel there. There's real influence.
So the Grey Cup.
Yeah. Not the Constantine's performing at halftime.
No. It's going to be a party in Hamilton. Uh-huh. I'm working, trying to work my magic. So anyone has any tickets?
Ailish is like, I'm trying to work my magic. I use my platform to ask for free things publicly.
And I don't get
magic.
It, though.
And
I never get anything. At
the break. You never get anything?
What have I gotten?
Ailish.
Ailish. So far, like this last week, you got Tim Biebs.
Yeah, but that was through the producers, not me.
You still got it.
Oh, so you're
saying, I would like tickets for me to go to the Grey Cup.
Yeah.
So anyone listening.
You're like, you just have to say the magic words. Yeah. I need a simp.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got simps offering to send you chips.
Yeah.
You're getting Tim Biebs. Yeah.
Send me ticks, not chips.
But they got to send them like a sugar daddy where it's like, there's no strings. He's just, here's your thing. You know, like you get this, you get these tickets. You don't have to come with me. I want that too. I also need a simp, okay? I also need that.
So
can I get a simp? Where are my simps?
Aw, poor guy.
Yeah.
So
Ailish is the only one who gets simps?
The Blue Bombers are coming into Hamilton. Hamilton's going to host this game. We talked
about
it.
Real serious like football stuff now. Okay.
Well, I mean, if we're delayed on Get Max, we may as well talk. Because you guys are going to both trying to go to the game.
I'll
right?
be honest. I really love the product and I can't wait to actually see the game. But the thing that interests me by far the most is the atmosphere of the party, actually seeing Arkells. Like, those are the things that
and the Lumineers added to the hey-ho.
What?
Yeah, Lumineers and K-Fly.
Yeah.
They're playing what?
The halftime
They're all
show.
Doing
it's
half-time.
Just a party.
Together.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Game's going to be like 6 hours long.
I'd imagine Lumineers are going to do one song and then Arkells will do a couple.
Mm.
You know what I was thinking about Sunday? A Hamilton parlay.
Yeah. Okay.
Lewis Hamilton. And the Hamilton Ticats.
See, this is why your brain is
a Hamilton
just a brain
parlay.
That I like.
But.
Plus 259.
But you've already admitted that your team Max is the issue here.
That's pretty. I could do a Max parlay where I do Max Verstappen and Max Arkells, who's from Hamilton. There's something there.
Yeah, there is something. I got.
There's some sort of little juju.
You're pretty tricky. Except for now, you've put yourself into a spot where you've already done both.
Yeah.
That's a tough one for you.
Tiger Cats and Lewis Hamilton would be plus 259.
What is it?
Max Kerman and Max Verstappen would pay plus 590.
Yeah.
A little extra juice there.
Ooh, I like that.
You know, that's
kind of what I'm going to go for.
What's too bad is that we don't have props like in the Super Bowl where there's what song are they going to open with?
Yeah.
Because we could have like texted our next guest and be like, hey, listen.
Hey, man, I need the set list.
Don't be a dick about it. Just tell me.
I would take tickets over the
tickets
list.
Over the set list.
Yeah. Okay,
all right. Well, let's see if he can help us out with any of this. We're joined now by lead singer of Arkells, Max Kerman. Max, what's up, buddy?
Hey, that'd be cool if we did have a betting line on what the opening song will be.
Yeah,
I'd be interested in that. Maybe I could. Yeah, I could be bought. You know?
Yeah, of course you could.
People,
you don't get into a position of influence. Yeah. and like we already know K-Flay is going to be there with you guys, so you can get it's going to be somewhere in the set list. But does it open? Does it close? How many songs are you guys even getting? I have no idea. Let's start there. How big a party is this halftime going to be?
You know, we're trying to ram like all the bits and tricks from like a 2-hour Arkell set into 15 minutes because you got to keep people entertained on television. You know, there's going to be a lot of folks out there who aren't as familiar with us. That's just the nature of doing anything on a big broadcast television show. And so we got to keep people entertained. So like every like 6 seconds, something's got to happen. and we have the Lumineers coming up as well, aside from Cake Light. So it should be jam-packed, 15 minutes of fun, you know, all killer, no filler.
Nice. So you guys are Hamilton guys. This game has been kind of building up for a while where this is going to be a big, cool thing for the city of Hamilton. Obviously, you guys take pride in being a part of that. But what extra level has this gone to after last weekend when the Tiger Cats punched their ticket into this game as well?
Oh, it's exciting. You know, obviously, there wasn't a CFL season last year. And, you know, the last couple of years have been hard for everybody. Hamilton deserves nice things. You know, this is sort of kicking off the Christmas season. You know, last year there wasn't really any Christmas parties. You know, like in December, like people are, like in normal times, people are kind of going out every night and people are sort of really taking in the festivities. So I think that starts like tonight, basically. So the basically a tailgate party in Hamilton for the next 5 days. I think people are very, very, very ready for this Sunday.
So how many friends and family tickets you got left over there? You got any in your pockets you want to dish out or what?
Yeah. Oh, you know what's so funny? I think I've actually, this is kind of funny. I think I've like trained my friends and family not to bother me about this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, so most of them
aren't going to bother you anymore.
Like, if they really want to come, they'll send a note. But otherwise, I think they're tired of seeing us. I don't think they need to see us anymore. I think they're like, somebody else can see them now.
Asking for me.
Yeah, she's and like, I'm not you. Friends or family. Okay, well, she's like, give me the tickets. She's threatening
I'm
you.
I'm a friend. I think I was once on your live stream. All right, we'll chat. We'll chat. If not,
yeah, we can have a conversation.
Okay. How hard is it to get, you know, a reservation at Odds Bar right now for a watching party or anything?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you for the shout out. Yeah, right. Odds Bar is a place downtown Hamilton, James Street South, right in the heart of the city. Nick and I own it with a friend. And it's a little sports bar. There wasn't really any great sports bars in downtown Hamilton, in our opinion. So we opened it up, and yeah, it's been really fun to be a part of that small little operation. And it's going to be packed. It's good, you know, especially with sports back, you know, with the Raptors, the Leafs, obviously the Grey Cup happening. It's like there's just more reasons to go out and eat chicken wings. So it's been fun. It'll be packed there on Sunday.
That reminds me, my local wing spot here is like back to doing their 2-for-1 nights. I won't drop the name because I want to be able to eat there and get a table. But that is actually my Grey Cup plan is the 2-for-1 wing joint that it'll be like my wing group's first night back at that.
I'm going to be in Hamilton.
Yeah,
like, there's
I know
just
you
nothing. Are. Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be so fun. I've almost built it up too much. Like, even when Max talking about it was like his 5-day party, I'm like, yeah, let's do this. Like, let me be
let's
there.
Go
you're
now.
You're heading to Hamilton tonight.
Yeah, like, I can attend.
Guys, can I do the show remote Thursday and Friday?
Well, you know, there's a good chance of Mondays.
What are you going to do in town when you're in there? What's your game plan?
Well,
when do you arrive?
So I'm going to come in. I probably come in earlier on Sunday. The thing is like, I do imagine that the bars are going to be rammed all week long. Like, I would imagine that even right now, right? Like, during the week.
People, 9:30 in the morning.
No, but that's the beauty of the Grey Cup. That's
in the morning. Hamiltonians putting in time.
That's it,
at
though.
The local pub. Yeah, yo, if you want to come to Odds, let me know on Sunday, and we can search it. Search it out.
So, yeah, man, it's one of those things where, like, one of the I love about the Grey Cup, why I like to go whenever it's in Ontario, or even just, like, these big events, is, like, there's this lead up of people funneling in from different places in Canada. And now to have this where, you know, you can travel throughout the country, you can get back in groups. Like, you know how, have you guys ever heard of like what Sturgis is? It's like this motorbike thing. It's like everybody in the States gets together for this big motorcycle ride and all the bikers in the States meet up in this spot. I kind of feel that way about the Grey Cup where it's like all the CFL hardos, they all travel to the Grey Cup and they go down. It's like their one big party of the year. And just to kind of get a little glimpse of it, to try to get in on the Canadiana of that week is the best. And so that's why I need to go to this game. That's why I need to be in Hamilton. That's why I need to do it, is because I also feel like, man, Hamilton is just like such a great place to be hosting, such a great place to have like the Ticats who have been tortured be back in this spot, another opportunity here to do it at home. It's like this very serendipitous. And so the missing out on the opportunity to be there and be in this atmosphere and see what happens here, like, it just feels massive for Hamilton. Like, it really, really does. And I want it bad, like really bad. And I'm not from Hamilton.
But, you know, I was talking to a dude who's been programming, you know, CFL content for 30 years. And I was asking, like, what is the ideal final for the Grey Cup in terms of viewership? And he said, like, obviously you'd think Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, like these places, especially out in Western Canada, that, like, this is like the big game in town. But he said Hamilton is like sneaky, super, super important for the ratings. Because, like, you know, Hamilton's a fair size. Hamilton's, like, a bigger city than Winnipeg, and it's a bigger city than Saskatchewan and, like, the surrounding area. So, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of people tuning in.
Well, it's also one of those things where, like, everybody in Hamilton's, like, for the most part anyways, like, a Leafs fan, right? There's some Habs fans too, whatever. But it's like Toronto is tied into the identity of Hamilton when it comes to sporting culture, right? Blue Jays, everything. Ticats are the one place where it gets to be, hey, this is a different place. This is our thing. And I love that because you're right. It is a big city, but a lot of times it basically just gets lumped in with Toronto from the rest of Canada standpoint. You go like, oh, Hamilton, that's basically GTA. Like, and this is a spot where it gets to be kind of, hey, it's its own identity. It's its own thing that's happening this weekend. And so that's why, again, I'm really stoked for the city because I'm also, I think anybody from a different place that gets lumped in with something bigger, like that's adjacent, should be able to relate to what this means to that city.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. A lot of people have been asking us, are we going to wear Argos Suck t-shirts or Campanalia? I don't know what the league will think of that, but, we're working on wardrobe right now.
You should wear a t-shirt with a picture of that guy that tried to fight all the Argos. It's like that guy, that Ticats fan who wore the flag around his neck.
Just saying, Max, I've seen some of your onstage outfits before. You could definitely pull off some sort of like tiger striped button up or something. Like I'm picturing like a Guy Fieri shirt, but tiger striped instead of the flames on it. Maybe that's just because Kyle Anderson was wearing one the other day. Guys. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So on a more serious note, Max, our Kells have kind of become, over the last couple of years, synonymous with Toronto sports and Hamilton sports. How do you guys carry that responsibility forward? Like, how much does it mean to you guys, and how much does that kind of influence how you approach your music and your kind of public persona?
Good question. You're right. I mean, we've become pals with some key figures, I guess. Kyle Dubas, his wife grew up with friends of mine. He went to Brock. He's a year older than me. He's a big music fan. I think he sent me his Spotify year-end Wrapped, and it was like Joel Plaskett, R. Kells, Killers, and James Brown or something like that. And he's become a friend. And it's really, for me, I think, like, really cool to meet people in different lines of work, right? Like, most of our adult life has been hanging out with musicians and music industry people. So whenever I have a chance to meet somebody outside of that world, I'm always fascinated. And whether that's Kyle or Nick Nurse, these folks that have to run a large operation and be responsible for a lot of people, I really kind of get off on just like learning how they do their job. And, in terms of the music, it's like we've always had pretty like upbeat, celebratory, sort of feel good songs and lyrics about everyday life. And I think that subject matter just like lends itself naturally to a sports montage. We didn't go out with the intention of like, we're going to be a band that gets lots of sports montages. But then, you see something like our song Years of the Making that was played during the montage for the Canadian women's soccer gold medal game. And I'm like, I do stuff. It was amazing. It was such an honor to hear our music played in that context. And, as a fan of cinema and film and knowing the right song for the right moment, if we can be a part of that, during a big celebration, that's kind of cool. I think it's amazing.
You mentioned Nick Nurse there. You guys have obviously become friends over the last couple of years, and he even performed with you guys at Budweiser Stage following the championship. I don't want to ruin any surprise or anything like that, but the Raptors are off Sunday while they're at home. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Nick is coming. He is coming, but he's not going to play with us. But okay.
So what is the setup for you guys? Like I'm assuming
Nick Nurse loves the Grey Cup, by the way. I was talking to him the other day before we announced it, and he's like, yo, that's amazing. I love the Grey Cup. I watch every single year. That's amazing. That's incredible.
No, that's him trying to get in on it.
No,
that's
him. Because I know he's a
football
guy.
He's like, come on, bring me up. You know what, though? If I'm going to say there's no overlap or like less overlap is hardcore CFL fans and knowing who Nick Nurse is. Like, that's not the spot where you're really like, ladies and gentlemen, Nick Nurse. And all the people from Saskatchewan are like, who is that? Yeah, like that's not the thing. That's not the time.
But I do know Nick's a big football fan, and I think tactically, I know like he borrows stuff from football plays, and being able to set your players in motion in the CFL probably hits for him. Max, so I'm guessing the first half you guys have to be in like full prep mode, but once your performance is done, do you get to just like hit the crowd and be a fan for the second half?
Yeah, I think they have me doing like a hit or something on the broadcast. So I think like in the fourth quarter, I'll probably be responsible for something. But yeah, I'll probably have a drink and let loose afterward. But I got to say, I was in the booth for one of the final regular season games, Argos and the Ticats. And that's a lot. There's a lot going on because the two dudes are calling the game but also asking you questions. And it's like you're watching the play unfold. and then they're asking a question about a song, but then they kind of cut you off if something exciting happens. So that amount of brain activity was sort of overwhelming for me. I have a newfound appreciation for the job that, you know, Rod Smith and company have to do. But also, I'm somewhat superstitious. So during that interview, the Ticats threw the ball away like twice, and then the Argos scored a touchdown. So I think my segment was supposed to go like 6 or 7 minutes, and it was like the 3.5 minute mark. I was like, guys, I gotta get out of here. Like, this is not good juju. Like, I don't want to be responsible for this loss. And so I just left.
You and Ailish have opposite energy, because Ailish did a live stream on the Sportsnet YouTube with Steve Dangle on the weekend, and the Leafs made a big comeback during those minutes. So.
I hate that you told me that, because I'm going to start wondering in the fourth quarter now if bad things are happening if you're on TV. As I'm there, I'm going to be like, somebody get that guy out of the booth.
Well, you got to bring Binox and just keep your eyes on Max the whole time. If things start going south, you got to ID him. And
that's another reason why I should be in attendance, because I have some good juju.
It's true. You're on fire. Ailish is on fire with the bets lately. She's swinging Leaf games on a live broadcast. If I'm a hardcore Ticats fan,
you gotta get
I'm tickets. Trying to get Ailish to that game.
That's right. Sign her up.
Max, thanks so much for taking the time. I know it's a big week for you guys. I know it's a big week for Odds Bar in Hamilton. Woo. As the party kicks up for the Grey Cup. Obviously, Sunday's a huge day for you guys performing at halftime of the Grey Cup. Thanks so much for taking the time out, man, and have a blast this week and on Sunday.
Good luck, man.
Yeah, it's an honor. It's really, the last thing I want to say is that, like, we're so excited for the project. You know, like, we're always looking for, you know, what's the thing that's going to occupy our minds and our creativity and the sort of teamwork that has to happen. And, you know, the project of, like, trying to pull off a 15-minute show is, like, a big one, something we've never, ever done before, but we're having a blast doing it.
Yeah, if anyone can pull it off, it's you guys, man. So looking forward to that performance and the game as well. Have a great week, buddy.
All right, thanks so much. Great chatting, folks. It was awesome.
Max Kerman, lead singer of Arkells. We played him in with Constantine, so didn't get to talk about it. Oh, well. Sorry,
I love that literally Ailish's questions, like, you know, Ailish,
yeah,
what was your prep for that interview?
It was like, just about getting me to the show.
You put a lot of prep in, bring me to the game. Hey, give me tickets. Hey, I should go to the game.
My
favorite part was at the end where he's like, you should go.
I felt a little
You should. Someone should get you tickets, not me.
That was kind of the end of the role. At first he's like, oh, we'll talk. And then it was like,
Like,
good luck. All the best, Ailish.
Yeah. I'm sure you can do it.
Yeah, good luck finding those tickets. They're $600. Yeah.
Didn't even drop a, like, hey, 5% off at Odds Bar.
No. He did say we could get it. He would help us get in there if we needed it.
He would help you give him money to his bar, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Shoot.
Do you know what, though?
Got totally bamboozled on that one.
That's like, whenever I have actually had that opportunity to ask people to help me get into a thing, I can't do it. I don't know. I don't have the constitution. I swear. I hate doing it. I hate doing it. Have you ever had that chance?
I've actually never had that chance.
Oh, you've never had that chance?
Never had that chance. Except from Poulin and Stacy that got me those tickets at one time. But offering.
They offered. Yeah, I'm saying to
like
ask.
I've never been like, guys, can I get free tickets to the Olympics? Like, no, that's never happened.
I'm just always so resentful of people who can. Like, I'm so jealous of people who can just ask. And it's funny because usually when people offer, they're being genuine. Mm-hmm. And you go, oh, yeah, thanks. And then the moment comes up, I'm like, I can't do this.
You know what I do?
I'll be in that line to get into Odds Bar for half an hour.
That's a short line from what I'm thinking.
I'm just saying, like, there's no chance, 0% chance that I would ever reach out. Do you know how horrific it would be, too, if you told your friends, like, hey, I'm going to reach out to this guy on Grey Cup Sunday where he's performing the Grey Cup halftime
show. Just message him, I'm at the foot of the line. Can you help me in?
He's like,
I like that you guys are picturing this like it's a club and you're going up to the bouncer and being on the list.
But I've actually, been to that bar before. It's a good bar. It's a good
spot. Actually supposed to do like a live Raptors watch along at that bar with them, and then the pandemic hit.
Oh.
And it got canceled.
I was going to ask the same question about Nick Nurse being there. I'm glad that he said that he was going to be there, because I looked at the schedule. I'm like, that's a day off. They're home before and after. He's 100% there. It's too bad that he's not going to get pulled on stage. But you're also right about the CFL crowd being like, oh, who's that man?
Here's what I want to know. Where is Hamilton legend Stephen Brunt? Because he's on vacation.
Maybe he's on vacation.
You did say it's a week-long party.
Yeah. Maybe that's what he's up to. That's what he's doing. But when I think Hamilton, there are certain people that I think of. Arkells are one. By the way,
Shea Gilgis Alexander.
Never.
I just Googled famous people from Hamilton.
J.R. Diggs.
Eugene Levy?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Our boy J.R. Diggs.
Let's go.
Yeah, J.R. Diggs, Hamilton legend. Oh, you know it's going to be huge for him.
Wow. Eugene Levy. He even went to McMaster and attended Westdale Secondary School.
Okay.
I didn't know that, but okay, you know what? He better be there then.
He's got to be at the Grey Cup. I got to tell you,
now that you put it out that way, he did high school in Hamilton. Also, people from Hamilton are furious that we didn't know that already.
Yeah.
But so that he did that, I need to see Eugene at the game. Wow. I need to see him. Actually, maybe that's one of the halftime guests. Maybe that's it.
Blake Moynes, winner of the 17th season of The Bachelorette. I forgot about him. He's definitely going to be at the game. You know that guy, Blake, if you're a Bachelorette
person? We do not know that guy.
He's like the guy that just won The Bachelorette. He's like the Hamilton guy. He worked at like a zoologist or something.
You could honestly tell me every little detail.
Kind of looks like Blake, too. It's weird.
Oh, he's fighting you for the Blake
corner. Look, we've already established that JD and I are generic looking dudes, so.
Actually, you did establish that to me, and it hurts. And sometimes I think about it randomly.
Yeah, I know you haven't let it go.
Yeah, I'll never let that go. Ailish said that to me, and she said it's so pure. And I was like, she's like so unfiltered. It hurt. It stings, and I will carry it till my dying days. Again, it might be, this is what's going to happen when the lights go out. I see Malcolm Butler make that interception and Ailish saying, you look like every other guy. Bing, dead.
And me saying, bing, bong.
Bye-bye. So yeah, Hamilton. Can't wait.
What a place.
Cannot wait. And I'm also, deep in the bosses. I'm asking for Monday off now.
I'm sure they're listening.
Yeah, I know. Just be prepared for that today.
What if I go and then I got to pull up poor Blake?
Blake.
I got this.
Yeah, see, look.
Guys, Brian Williams went to Westdale.
Mm.
That's a text.
Cool.
That's a text. Cool. I love how you said it like that, though. Like, oh,
well, that's great.
Oh, God.
That's a text. Yeah. That's a chunky.
Hey, do you know what I'm saying, though, about Hamilton, where it's like, hey, this is really their moment? And they beat Toronto.
And it's a great town.
Key Nurse.
Uh-huh. Also from Hamilton?
From Hamilton.
There we go.
She's going to be there.
Wait, I love how you keep saying people are going to be there, that we're not really sure that they're going to be there.
They got to be
there. Nick Nurse is the only one we're sure of.
Yeah, Nick Nurse is going to be there.
Nobel Prize winning economist Myron Scholes.
Do you guys think Nick Nurse is actually going to go now, though, that now that Max has made it abundantly clear he doesn't get to play?
He's going.
I don't know.
He might be in the suite that I might be invited to. Imagine.
Nick Nurse is definitely going to have a guitar in his car and be like, Oh,
oops, I brought this.
You guys, just texting right before the game. Just being sure. I'm here, guys.
Are you sure Mike's okay to play?
Yeah.
Like I've got my guitar. Yeah. If not, I'm ready to fill in.
Yeah. This was fun. Go Tabbies. Go Ticats. Oski Wee Wee. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It's the Fan Morning Show. JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Where are my simps?